Recording has been started. You may now begin.
Thank you very much, Nori. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Translation and Transliteration of Contact Information PDP Working Group call on the 22nd of May 2014. On the call today, we have Pitinan Kwamonpatana, Chris Dillon, Peter Reinforth, Rudy Ransnick, Jennifer Chung, and Yubolse Setekaset. We have apologies from Jim Galvin, Wolf Ulrich Knoben, and Peter Dernach. And from staff, we have Julia Hedlund, Lars Hoffman, and myself, Matthew Peregrine. I'd like to remind you all to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Chris.
Thank you very much indeed. Before we start, I will just repeat what we were saying before the call started, and that was that we are aware that we've only got about half of the group on the call today. We are keen to make progress because we've got quite a lot of documents. I think it's about four documents to work through, but because there aren't very many of us on the call, the idea is that we will just keep a list of any decision which needs to be made, because we don't really feel we can make decisions without a greater percentage of the group being present. So that's what we were saying just before the call started. We are also aware that we are waiting for other responses. So I think Wolf Knoben indicated that there's at least one response to the the tool that we're looking at. We're waiting for that. So anything we do today, the idea is just that we build up our knowledge about the various responses. We beef up the document, but we're not making any sort of we can't really make decisions. What we can do is just take a list of the decisions. Okay. Any comments about that before I proceed? Okay. Seeing none, let us move into agenda point three, which is the usual thing about statements of interest. We have to ask whether there have been any changes in SOI since the last call. Okay, seeing no hands, that means we can move forwards. Agenda point four. We're then looking at the responses from SOs and ACs, and I guess effectively the tool that's on the screen falls into that. Okay, so 2 weeks ago we had got as far as record 9. I refer to the lines in this document as record, so we got as far as record 9, so I'm intending to start at record 10, and I've circulated my own responses to the various records, but obviously I would like to go through and ask for each record whether anybody has anything to add, or whether we can just move forward with it. Okay, so let's just get to number 10 on our screens and then pick up there. Now, I have added... you might notice that having got the experience of a few more records, I've added this note field. So sometimes the note really is just aimed at us. That's all it is. So it may be that there's something about this record that needs clarifying, or it's really something like that. But we haven't done that for the first 9 records, so conceivably we may need to go back and add notes. But anyway, I think the thing to do is go to record 46 and then just see what happens. So anyway, if we come to record 10, we've got the, we're just continuing with answering the question, and we better make sure we know what question we're answering. It's actually question 2, issue 2. What exactly the benefits to the community are of transforming contact information, especially in light of the costs? That's really what we're talking about. And so we have here, I'm saying that the policy applies, the working group policy applies to the current who is, if implementable, and to replacement systems. So that's the first major comment I made there. And that's rather new. So I'm almost wondering whether anything in this responses thing really needs okaying by the group, because I think until now we've said that the policy actually applies to the current WHOIS system and to future systems, but almost by its nature, anything in another script or in most other scripts cannot be put in the present WHOIS system. So the only thing you could do would be to link out of it into some other system. And of course, at that stage, it all becomes very complicated and really probably not a structure that we would really want to recommend. But this particular response is really highlighting that. And it's actually new, so that might be something we do want to highlight when there are more of us. So just take a note of that applies to future, definitely, but to what extent it applies to current systems could be debatable, really. I mean, it would be easier to say it only applies to future systems. I mean, just come off the fence there. So that's one thing. And then the other one is not controversial. We've already spoken about, there is no intention to disobey the 2013 RAA. That is a piece of legislation. We can't, there's no way that we could take any decision that breaks that. That's something we've discussed before. So, we regard, record 10 as being in agreement, so that's why there's a yes there. And then we've got the with the question, and there's just a bit of explanation. Oh yeah, and I have actually picked up this thing about current or future systems in the note as well. Okay. Before before I ask you for your opinions on this, I will just end by saying I think in some ways the system we are using here to indicate agreement is quite primitive. I'm rather concerned about it. I wonder whether there may be a better system. I mean, using just yes, I think what we're actually doing is yes, no, or non-applicable. It's a very, very primitive system. I don't know whether anybody more, experienced with other working groups, whether other working groups have used a more sophisticated system for indicating agreement. I mean, I don't know, Julie or Lars or Rudy, whether there is. I mean, the system we are using is very primitive. I really wonder whether there is a better system.
This is Julie Headland. Chris, I don't know that there is a documented system for reviewing the input that working groups receive. I'm sure, actually, that there isn't a system that's documented in the working group guidelines. I don't have any experience with any other systems. I don't know, Lars, if you have noted any other approaches in any of the working groups you've supported.
Thanks, Julius, Lars. No, I think it's all the might be basic. I think it's the way forward. In the other couple of working groups that I've been doing this with, you know, the group will discuss the various issues or the points raised, and then they record the reaction. And essentially, the chair then, if you want, when it comes to the eventual recommendations, the discussion proceeds, and the chair will make a sort of call if it's a contested issue, what kind of consensus it is. There's obviously categorizations for that, and then opening up for any minority statements of people who disagree with what the consensus is. The consensus level, it obviously doesn't have to be full consensus every time on each of the charter questions. But I think the way that the group is proceeding on here, or the way that Chris has laid it out, I think is for the time being, for sure, the best possible option. Thanks.
Thank you very much for that, Lars. That makes me feel a little bit better. Certainly, the next stage... So in the charter, there is information about what to do at the next stage. So I guess once we get to record 46 in this, and we've waited for the additional responses which we know are coming, at that stage we can go to the charter and we can summarise, where there's agreement or disagreement, and then there are quite detailed rules in the charter, so we can use that stuff. So I suppose part of this is just being sure that what we are now collecting is enough to fulfil the various criteria in the charter. Okay, so I'll just notice that and have another look at the charter at the end of this. Okay, so in that case, are we happy with the way that this record has been filled in? Are we okay to move to the next record, or would somebody like to add something or disagree with something? Okay, Rudy's saying he agrees. I think we may do well to continue to... thank you, we've got one or two hands going up. I think we'd do well to continue to record 11. Okay, and this is IPC. And what I'm saying here is that fundamentally this is a list of benefits, and therefore it gets a yes. It's it's an agreement, and we could have a look perhaps at the various benefits, but that fundamentally in agreement. Avoiding domain dispute cases, that sort of thing. And then Rudy is actually saying something in the chat which I have missed. So it'd be good just to proceed with the comments, which will be in the document for review for the next call. Yes, that might be... Yeah, that might be another way of doing this. So, Rudy, would you like to say something about that?
Yes, thank you, Chris. Rudy, for the transcript. Well, as last time, also we had the problem of not having a quorum. We have at least a few people more now today. I would suggest that you have been doing great work in commenting on the earlier points already. I would suggest that you go through each point and bring up your comment. That will be then edited in the document itself. And maybe to make it easier for others to participate in modification of the wording of the responses, we could eventually use Google Docs, where you have a track who has modified what or which comment has been added, in order to have a review possible at next meeting. But that's just a proposal.
Yes. The system we currently have is using the wiki, and I actually have direct access to the wiki, so I could go into the wiki and change one thing or another. But my own instinct is actually to continue with the existing system, which is that we use the mailing list for comments, and then staff update the update this main document, which is stored in the wiki. Julie, I wonder if you have any feelings about this. Is that the best way to do it, or would Google Docs encourage people to be more active, perhaps?
This is Julie. First of all, staff doesn't have access to Google Docs. That's not a document exchange or sharing system that ICANN currently uses to support working groups. We do use the wikis for collaboration, and the wikis do have the option of people adding to them, and people can set, you know, their notifications so they know when things have been added and who has added them. And also, of course, we can do as we've been doing, which is to have comments go to the list, and in some cases that's easier for some people. Some people don't feel comfortable using the wiki for various reasons. And, you know, then staff can take the comments, as I have done in this case, and add them to the document. If we do want to indicate, you know, who has added that, I did not do that in this case because all of the comments in the document right now are from you, Chris. But if we have comments that come in that we want to label as being from, you know, various people, we certainly can do that in any number of ways. We can, you know, indicate that as, you know, in the document as things are added.
Okay. Yes. Thank you. I think as soon as we get comments from other people, we may need to put initials or something like that in there. And you know, the other thing here is that we're actually using the PDF format rather than the wiki anyway. So although the PDF document is in the wiki, it's not possible to edit PDFs directly. So I think probably I'm certainly happy to continue using the current system. I think that works quite well, because at least when somebody does add something, everybody knows because an email goes out. So I think that system is robust. Okay, now let us anyway return to the document and just see how much more progress we can make with this. If we're back roughly to record 12. Now this is quite different. So this is a simple no. So this is disagreement with this question. Yes, I did put the comment that although it's a no and it's a clear no, it does actually recognise certain benefits for certain stakeholders. So usually IP rights or law enforcement. Okay. If anybody has comments, just interrupt me. No problem at all. Then we have Petra. Would you like to?
Thanks, Pedro Infuria. It was just a thing that struck me when I read this. I mean, from an IPC point of view, they're perfectly right that we're looking on the benefits when it comes to disputes and civil recognition of the right address to the holders. But, I mean, it's not just the IP holders and their attorneys. One thing that came on my mind here is also the dispute resolution organizations like NAF and WIPO. How will they do when they check out that the contact information is correct in a dispute, for instance? I think there must be benefits also from that point of view to have both versions to check on.
Yes, I mean, I think all we can do is wait I think that sort of opinion is going to have to come in as a written opinion. I don't think that's really something we can add as I understand it. I mean, it may well be that does come in as an opinion, but it's interesting because at first this does look like just a plain no, but actually, this really goes back to what I was saying earlier about the system, because at the moment we've got yes, no, and non-applicable. So, you know, if we end up in a situation where it's basically no, but there's in certain situations, then we really do need a better system than this. Yeah, Petter, would you like to add something?
I was not just thinking about this reply. It came to my mind that it might be good soon to also give a quick question out to dispute resolution organizations to see if they have any points of views on this when they collect and check out that the contact information is correct, because they got the information from the trademark holders that start dispute, and then they have to check it out with the organizations that the registrars and so. It could be interesting to see if they have any practical point of view on this aspect in general. That's what I thought of.
Okay, thank you very much for that. Lars, would you like to say something about that?
Yeah, just a quick note on that. I'd be very happy on the working group. The other working group that I'm working on, we have someone from NAF who's on there who I could reach out to. I'm wondering though whether they mainly deal. This is just top of my head. Whether they mainly deal with registrars rather than individual registrants, and they leave it up to the registrars to do the contact with the registrants. So I'm not sure whether they actually deal with who is stated to contact individuals. But I'll send Christine Durain an email and ask her about this, and I'll report back to the group if that's okay.
Thank you very much. That it'd be good to have that as an action in this meeting. Thank you. Okay. So let us come back to. That we're just about to have a look at record 13, which is the GAC representative of the People's Republic of China. And, okay, so this is, I view it as a no, because there are several occasions in the document where GAC is saying, you know, for Chinese purposes, really everything can be done in the Chinese language. It isn't necessary to transform. That's how I read this, and it comes up a couple of times in here. This isn't the only occasion. That answer comes up as the answer further down a couple of times. Okay. Any comments on that, or shall we move on? Okay. Now, then the last one is FICPI, which, now they are not stakeholders, and that is why there is no yes, no, or anything like that, because they cannot say yes or no here. So all we're doing is just noting what they're saying, but it doesn't actually affect agreement. They're basically, as you can see in my note, they're basically saying that, you know, it is their opinion that WHOIS will fail without transformation. Okay, thank you for that. Unless there are comments, let us move into issue number three. Should transformation be mandatory for all GTLDs? Okay, and we kick off with record 15, which is the TIGAC, and they are basically saying yes. There's a slight linguistic thing here, so it's saying something about what is this? Let me try. Ah, yes. So the transformation of local language to common language should be established in each country. I reckon that's implemented in each country. But some verb like probably like done or implemented, something like that. But I think that's just about the. I think apart from that one word, it's pretty clear as a response. Any comments about that record? Okay. Well, we can move into record number 16, which is from ALAC, and this is a yes, so they're saying should be mandatory for GTLDs that allow registration of domains. So there is a clause there which is saying that obviously it's only for non-ASCII ones. But I think basically I've taken that very much to mean a yes. It isn't possible to transform English into English. I think that's what that's about. Okay, and then unless there are any comments about that, we can go into record number 17. This is IPC. Yes, and again, that's basically a yes. And just there is a comment in there saying that clarification is likely to be more necessary in future, in replacement systems in the future, but it is basically a yes. Okay, so there aren't any comments about that. We can move into record 18. And this is the NCSG. And then this, as we would expect from their previous comments, it's a no. Moving into record 19, this again is the People's Republic GAC rep. Again, this is a no, and it's fairly similar to the earlier Chinese GAC response. They're just basically saying, for Chinese domain names, Chinese script, information in Chinese is all that's required. ThickP are saying, would say yes, but under this system we can't record that. Okay, and that takes us now to issue 4. Should transformation be mandatory for all registrants or only those based in certain countries or using specific non-ASCII scripts? And then we're into record 21, and we've got the Thai GAC representative saying that there's no point in arguing this for those cases based in non-ASCII script countries. So effectively, it means that they have the priority. It's really an issue for them. So this is only an issue in non-ASCII countries. That's what this is saying. And so I've marked it as non-applicable. Let's make sure that's correct. I'm almost wondering if that should actually be a yes, because what they're saying is that it only applies to the non-ASCII ones. I think maybe non-applicable there. Maybe that's me being too logical. I think actually the spirit of this is more a yes. What do other people think about there? Would anybody like to argue yes or non-applicable for that? Petter, would you like to say something?
Yeah, two things. First of all, it's difficult to note a yes or no, because the question is two points to choose between. But one thing that I wonder about especially when I see the GAC representative from China, and it may also be the Thai representative, are they specifically discussing this from their respective country and respective language point of view, or in a general point of view? When it comes to the organizations, they're spoken from a more general point of view. It'd be interesting in order to see what how they look at each issue in a more broader way.
Yes, looking at the way these responses are written, for example, the Chinese response, they are saying in our case dealing with Chinese, this is what I would say they are basing their answer on their own case, because they are saying, for example, if you look at record 19, it would be appropriate that the registration info in Chinese script is the basic requirement in the area of China. They're not talking generally. But I take your point, because you end up actually using the agreement system meaning different things. So they are saying no because they are talking about Chinese, but they conceivably that's not the no means something different from perhaps somebody else who is just talking about all languages. So I think that may be something which needs to go in our summary. Whether they are talking generally or just, or I think very often they are talking about their own languages, and we have to be very careful that we do not interpret that as being a general thing. So when we write up, we need to stress that it is just for the, you know, they are saying that for their own languages. So that could affect things later. Coming back to this particular one, I think in record 21, we should go for yes rather than not applicable. I think that's more accurate. And Rudy is agreeing to that. So. It's quite difficult to do these comments. I found as I was doing these comments that you get rather hypnotized. So, it is quite good to go through these records again, because once you've done 20 of them, you're no longer as fresh as you were when you did the first one. That's really what it comes to. Thank you. Julie's just agreeing to make that change. And on into record 22, which is the... ALAC. Okay. And... I think the interesting thing is they are saying no, but they raise this interesting thing about the possibility of automated transformation. So, you know, so theoretically this is something that might change over time, and, you know, as my own background is in linguistics, I have to admit that I tend to be quite skeptical about automated transformation. But that said, you know, I've watched things like Google Translate, for example, going from a situation where it was a joke, and it is still a joke in some languages, for example, Yiddish, to being something that, you know, is actually... can be quite useful. It can save time, but it is an interesting point. So what is not very useful now will probably become more useful in the future. Whether it is useful enough to be relied upon, time will tell. Okay, so I just have a last look at this before we. Okay, it should be okay. Any other comments about record 22, or shall we continue? Okay. I will warn you that a thunderstorm has just started in London, so if suddenly I get cut off, that is why. Okay, so... down, and the next one is IPC, should be mandatory for all. Glorious, simple, a yes. And we move into record 24. And this is the People's Republic GAC representative. Would be appropriate that the registration information is in Chinese script. It's a basic requirement. And this is another case. So they're talking about Chinese. So so that means it's a no in that sense. Quite similar to some of the other answers. And then we're into record 25, NCSG, and as we would expect, it's a no because of reasons already stated, should not be mandatory for any registrant in any country. So I think it's quite clear. Okay. And then we have FICP right at the end, and now what are they saying? Transformation should be mandatory for all registrants. okay. And they're sort of just making this thing that, you know, this could solve some issues even with the present who is system. I mean, I guess that maybe talking about European languages that are basically using ASCII with a few diacritics. Lars, would you like to say something?
Thank you, Chris. This is Lars for the record. Just a quick note on the Chinese. I've been thinking about this. I know that they're obviously referring here to Chinese registrants, so they should be allowed to enter it in Chinese. But I'm wondering whether that, I mean, although it is just in relation to China, but the generality of this working group means that by implication, they probably mean that this should be true for any person in their own script, no?
Wide
implication. Just for the
Thank you. Yes. I think that is true. The thing in brackets here is that presumably, if they are saying that Chinese should be dealt with in Chinese, I'm sure that they mean that Thai should be dealt with in Thai. And actually, that part goes some way to answering the issue we had before, because we were worried that the usage of yes and no was actually different here. But as we think about it, actually, although they are only talking about Chinese, it is possible to generalize it, and I'm sure it does mean that that Chinese for Chinese only Chinese language should be used, for Thai only Thai should be used. So yes, I think it is possible to generalize it, which actually goes some way to allaying our concerns about whether the language was being used in the same way. So I think it's correct. The whole time we have to be extremely careful that we are using words with the same meanings the whole time. So that's why when something like this comes up, I get rather worried, and I think, oh, maybe they are using it differently. But if we think it through logically, actually, I think it would be quite correct to say that, you know, if they are talking about Chinese language in China, they are also talking about Hindi in India and Thai in Thailand and other cases. Thank you. Okay, and that, so we've then finished issue 4, and we go into issue 5, which I think we dare risk because we're starting to run out of time, but with a good wind, we may be able to get to the end of this. Issue 5, what impact will transformation have on validation as set out under the 2013 Registrar Accreditation Agreement? So here our agreement system breaks down because, no non-applicable is no longer appropriate here. And so we're having to have full text answers. And here we've got this thing. So the Thais are recommending a single point of registration. And if you look at it more closely, they're saying that is the cheapest way of doing this. Checking. I thought they were also recommending that the government do it. I think they are, but I don't think they actually say that here. Okay, so that is their situation. That is what they are recommending. I think Pittinan may well be just about to add something on this in the chat room. Typing. Incidentally, as we are speaking, the thunderstorm is getting noticeably worse. Okay. Ah, yes. Yes, so basically, yeah, Pityanam has made that totally clear. So what she's saying is it should be a single point of transformation and validation for each country. She is not specifying that that should be a government. Okay, so I think we probably don't need to edit this response. Thank you for that. Yes, okay. And then that puts us into record 28, which is NCSG. And they're saying validation should be carried out in the original language. As a linguist, I feel very relieved when people say that. You know, there is something, I don't know, authentic, more important. As a linguist and as an ex-librarian, I feel quite relieved when people say things like that. You know, sort of a respect of the of forms in the original language. That's how libraries work. You know, certainly if you compare a translation with the text in the original language, if we're reading the Tale of Genji, we definitely want to do it in Japanese, not in English, because so much is lost. But that said, I think if Yoav if we had other colleagues on the call, they may be saying, yes, that's all very well, but what if it is a situation where the people concerned do not have that, are not able to function in that language, then suddenly they can't validate. So actually, it isn't completely straightforward. But anyway, here, this opinion is quite clear. Validation should be carried out in the original language. It'd be interesting to see whether we get additional opinions on this. Okay. Now, would we like to say anything more, or shall we move into record number 29? Okay. Record 29 very loud thunder here. Record 29, so this is basically IPC saying, unless it's a global system, the system itself will be threatened. There's a really substantial opinion. Yes. I think quite clear. Do we want to add anything to that, or shall we perhaps move on? Record 30 is FICP, and obviously they get nothing in the last column, but they are saying, yeah, necessary to keep who is validation workable on an international basis, which is very similar to what we've just been saying. Okay, and that then brings us to the end of issue 5. I'm glad we got there, but I'm not intending to go into issue 6 until next week. What we do need to have a look at briefly is if we pop over to the work plan, and it might be worth just spending a few minutes talking about what we do once we've completed this. I think the impression I have is that we need to wait for a few more responses to this, a few more comments on the list, and then the whole thing needs to be summarized with a view of the various stipulations in the charter. I don't know whether anybody would like to add to that, whether whether we, and thank you very much, by the way, for the various things being said in the chat room. That's very kind of you. It would be very good. Perhaps we just need to set a deadline of the London meeting now and say that we will have, that we will draw a line under it. Perhaps we need to say that we will have received all the responses, we will have this totally up to date, and summarized by the London meeting. Would that be a good... Yes, Rudy is suggesting a deadline of the 29th of May. Lovely, yes. Let us say deadline for responses the 29th of May. Yes, and Pity Nan is agreeing with that. Good. Now, we now just need to make sure that everybody is aware of that. Is it just good enough to put that on our list, or do we need to, or do we need to publicise that rather more? Julie Last, do you have any opinions on that?
This is Julie. I don't have any opinions. I think there are just a couple of groups we're awaiting. A reminder to them wouldn't hurt. I saw that Wolf Ulrich Knobin said that they were preparing comments, and I think he was anticipating forwarding them soon. I have not heard whether or not there's been any response from Michele, maybe for the registrars. Maybe Lars has information on that.
Thank you. Lars, if you've got something on that, please say.
Thanks, Chris. This is Lars. So I contacted Michele, I think, 2 weeks ago now, and he said he's still sitting with the committee, so I suspect they're working on it.
Right.
But what I would also suggest, and I think that should come from the chairs if you agree, is maybe also reach out to the registrars that are members of this group, and just encourage them to be more active on the calls, and if not, at least on the list, so the discussion doesn't run away from them, and then they have to catch up, and we have to catch up, and it might lead to complications towards the end of the group. So I think it would be good to encourage a more consistent participation as well.
Okay, well, I think perhaps we can have a brief email conversation about how exactly it's best to do that. But I think certainly the reality of it is that we want it all, it would be wonderful if we could get all of this done by the beginning of the London meeting. And so I think certainly we need to promote that deadline of the 29th of May. Just make sure that people know about that, and certainly with the aim of getting it done by London. And there are a few things going on in the chat room, so I just. And it's just Rudy saying that he's been in contact with Michele. Yes. So I think that's the line we hold, that we say to Wolfgang Michele, registrars, that we would really appreciate it if that 29th could be the deadline. And also Julie is saying that we need to give an update to the GNSO Council, which is fine. Okay. Well, I think we're more or less at the top of the hour, but unless there's any item of any other business, I think we can perhaps round off here. And it was good to make some progress with the document today. It was looking slightly daunting, but we're now two thirds of the way through, which is good. And we've also set some deadlines for the London meeting, so that I think is also solid.
Chris, this is Lars. Can I just add something very quickly?
By all means, yes.
Next Thursday is a public holiday in most of continental Europe. It's Jesus Goes to Heaven Day, the unofficial name. And so I'm wondering what the situation is in other countries and whether we should continue with the call or not. Obviously, in the UK, I know there's no public holiday. You have the Monday after. But in the US, neither. But I'm just putting it out there.
Thank you.
We'll be on holiday, and I think Petter possibly as well.
Thank you very much for that. So there is... Rudy is asking whether we would be able to move it to Friday to avoid that.
I mean, to be frank, there's a lot of people who will take a bridge day. I'm perfectly happy with either. This is not a personal thing, but a lot of people will take a bridge day. And also, I have bad experiences moving a group just for one week to another day. It often creates more problems than it solves.
Right, that's my instinct as well. I think possibly, I think we should probably get a reputation for meeting always at the same time. That's what I feel. I mean, like today, I would really like to run it if we possibly can, if we could get to number 46 or even into the documents which wait for us after this one. There are three other documents. Then I would like to do that. And I think probably what we need to do, is monitor it. And if we have a lot of people saying on the list during the week that they can't make it, then we should cancel it. But if it's not too bad, and we have numbers like today, I would really like to see the end of this document. So that's what I'm intending to do. But we can just see how it goes over the week. Waiting for a few comments in the chat. Yes, I think people are. Yes, people are agreeing. Good. Okay. Well, in that case, we'll be in contact over the week as that one develops, and perhaps we get a few responses, and we forward information about the deadline of the 29th of May. But anyway, I would like to thank all of you for a good meeting, and I hope to have another one same time next week.
Thank you very much, Chris.
Not at all.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Goodbye, then.